Welcome back. In this lesson, we're making a Reese Jungle Kick feel heavy, polished, and properly arranged in Ableton Live 12. And right away, I want you to think like a drum and bass producer, not just a sound designer. In DNB, the kick and the Reese bass are not separate ideas. They're a team. They share the same low-end territory, especially in the low mids. The punch area around 80 to 150 Hz, and the body that gives the drop its forward motion. If those two fight each other, the whole track feels cloudy and weak. If they lock together, the drop feels huge, controlled, and finished. So our goal today is simple. Make the kick punch hard, make the Reese move with attitude, and arrange both so they support each other instead of stepping on each other. We're working at 174 BPM, which is a great beginner tempo for jungle, rollers, and darker DNB. Start a fresh Ableton set and create three tracks, one for kick, one for Reese bass, and one for processing or grouping if you want to keep things tidy. If you have a reference track, drop it into another audio track and turn it down. Don't use it to copy every detail. Use it as a guide for impact, width, and how dense the low end feels. Before you even touch processing, listen to how the reference handles the balance. Is the kick short and punchy? Is the bass wide but controlled? Does the drop feel busy or spacious? Those questions matter because DNB is all about relative decisions. You're not just asking, does this sound good? You're asking, does this kick and bass relationship make sense in this style? Let's start with the kick. A lot of beginners think a huge kick is the answer. In fast drum and bass, that's often not true. A kick that is too long can blur the rhythm and eat into the bass movement. In this style, a tight kick usually reads heavier than a boomy one. So choose a sample with a clear attack, a short tail, and solid body in the low end. If it has unnecessary rumble below about 25 to 30 Hz, clean that up with EQ8. You're not trying to shape the kick into a completely different sound yet. You're just removing junk. Then add a little saturator, maybe just 1 to 3 dB of drive, to give it density. If you want, put drum bus after that and keep it subtle. A small amount of transient emphasis can help the kick cut through, but don't overdo it. In drum and bass, too much processing can make the kick smaller, not bigger. Now let's build the Reese. Load Wave Eatable on the Reese bass track. Start from a saw-based patch or something detuned and broad. You want movement, tension, and a little instability. That's the character of a Reese. Think alive, not clean. Use two saw-style oscillators. Keep the detune subtle, and if you use unison, stay modest. Too much unison can make the bass cloudy and hard to control. After Wave Eatable, add saturator to bring out harmonics. Then add EQ8. Because we're going to shape the low mids and keep the bass from getting muddy, and add utility so you can check mono later. You can also put auto filter on there for movement during the arrangement. Here's a really important coach note, to not chase sub inside the Reese too hard. That is one of the fastest ways to muddy a beginner DNB mix. The Reese should give you motion, texture, and attitude. Let the kick carry some of the body, and let the Reese handle the vibe. Now we need a rhythm. This is where the lesson starts feeling like reedal drum and bass instead of just two loops sitting on top of each other. Don't hold one long Reese note under every kick. That's a common beginner trap. Instead, write a short bass phrase. Use a two-bar loop and place notes with intention. Try a note on beat 1, then a short rest, then another note on the end of 2, then another hit on beat 4. Leave space for the kick to breathe. Think of the bass as part of the drum pattern. In jungle and rollers, the bass doesn't need to fill every gap. In fact, the silence is part of the energy. The kick hits, then the Reese answers. That call and response feeling is what gives the drop its pressure. If you want a simple starting point, try this kind of shape. Kick on beat 1, Reese on beat 2. Then in the next bar, kick again on beat 1, Reese on beat 3 and beat 4. That gives you movement without clutter. You're creating a conversation between the drum and the bass. Now let's make them fit together. Group or route your kick and bass so you can hear them as one low-end system. This is where the mastering mindset comes in. We're not just making each sound cool on its own. We're thinking about whether the whole low-end would survive loud playback, headphones, and club speakers. Start by setting levels before doing too much EQ. The kick should feel like the front edge. The Reese should feel like the movement behind it. If the kick disappears when the bass plays, don't immediately start boosting the kick. First, try reducing the bass in the conflict zone. Often a small cut around 200 to 350 Hz helps if the Reese sounds boxy. And if there's too much rumble, you can high pass very gently around 25 to 35 Hz. Small moves matter here. In DNB, 1 to 3 dB can make a huge difference. Don't go hunting for giant EQ changes unless you really need them. Now check the bass in mono using utility. This is huge. A lot of Reese patches sound exciting in stereo but fall apart when collapsed. If your low end loses weight in mono, the stereo width is probably too wide in the low range. Keep the low part stable and centered. You can still have width up top. That's the sweet spot. Wide in the mids and highs, stable down low. If the Reese feels too smeared, reduce the unison voices, lower the detune, or back off any extra chorus or reverb. You want energy without chaos. If you need motion, use something subtle like auto pan, sync slowly, and keep the amount low. The goal is movement, not wobble. Next, we add a bit of punch and translation. On the kick or kick group, drum bus can add weight and attitude if you use it lightly. Keep the transient boost modest. A little drive is fine. Boom can be helpful if the kick needs a touch more body, but be careful. Too much boom and fast DNB can make the low end sluggish. On the Reese, saturator is your friend. A little soft clipping or drive can make the bass more audible on smaller systems. That's a mastering aware move, because if the bass only feels strong on big subs, it isn't really finished yet. You want harmonics that help the bass translate on headphones, laptops, and club systems. If the saturation gets harsh, follow it with a gentle EQ move and tame the sharp area. Don't stack a bunch of aggressive processors and hope it gets better. In heavy bass music, control usually wins over force. Now let's animate the drop. A static bass loop gets old fast. Even a beginner arrangement should evolve. Use auto filter on the Reese and automate the cutoff so the bass opens over 4 or 8 bars. You can also slightly increase distortion over time or thin the bass right before a phrase change. These are small moves, but they make the section feel alive. A very simple arrangement idea is this. Bars 1 to 4 are dense but restrained. Bars 5 to 8 open up a little and get brighter. Then on the last beat of bar 8, pull something away, even if it's just a quick bass cut or pause. That little gap makes the next hit feel bigger. Now stretch the idea into a proper 16-bar structure. For bars 1 to 4, keep it minimal and establish the groove. Bars 5 to 8 are where the full kick and Reese interplay comes in. Bars 9 to 12 can add a variation, maybe a new bass note, a fill, or slightly more open filter. Bars 13 to 16 should give you a switch up or reset, something that tells the listener the phrase is moving forward. And here's a really useful arrangement rule. Change one thing every 4 bars. Not 5 things. One thing. Maybe a muted kick. Maybe an extra Reese hit. Maybe a reverse texture. Maybe a short drum fill. That's enough to keep the loop interesting without killing the groove. A lot of beginner DNB arrangements fall apart because they keep adding more and more. But in this style, contrast is power. Sometimes the strongest move is removing a note, not adding one. A missing bass hit before a downbeat can make the next kick feel enormous. Before you wrap up, do a mastering aware check on the master channel. Keep processing minimal. Maybe just utility for mono checking, and only the tiniest EQ cleanup if something is clearly rumbling. Don't slap a big limiter on it while you're still arranging. You want to hear the true relationship between the kick and bass. Listen carefully at a lower volume too. This is one of the best pro habits you can build. If the groove still reads quietly, the balance is probably good. If it disappears unless it's very loud, the mix may be relying too much on volume instead of real structure and tone. Here's the core recap. Keep the kick short, punchy, and clear. Make the Reese rhythmic, not endless. Leave space for the kick with note gaps. Keep the low end centered and mono safe. Use saturation for density and translation. Automate small changes so the drop evolves. And always think in zones, not just single frequencies. If your kick hits hard, your Reese moves with purpose, and the low end stays clean in mono, you are already building like a real drum and bass producer. For your practice, try making an 8-bar loop using only stock Ableton devices. Set it to 174 BPM. Build one kick sound, one Reese sound, and make one filter or saturation automation move. Then duplicate it into 8 bars and change one element every 4 bars. Bounce it out, compare it to a reference, and listen on headphones, speakers, and in mono. That's the mission. Keep it tight. Keep it musical, and remember, in DNB, the low end is the drop.